Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had quite a week this week. Nobody will believe this. We had went to the city council meeting, not expecting nothing from them. They don't give black folks anything. So the thing is, don't ask for nothing. If you don't ask for nothing, then they're on the spot, you see, because they always willing to say no to you. We went there because another group was there, and they wanted, to set up some kind of water council themselves. But we already had a water council. And then they wanted to know the power behind what we had. We have the governor at our backs. We supporting us 100%. We have all the people. We have we the people from Detroit. We have Flint Movement. We have Fresh Start Water. We have the Great Lakes Water. We have even the Barron County Health Department supports us, which they usually don't support anything that's black or of color, as they would say. But we have them also to support us. And I didn't even give them all the names that were supporting us. They was in shock to find out that we had all these people supporting us. And this is how black people operate, too. They don't want to hear nothing about who all supported you on this adventure. They think, he been to prison. It's nobody's going to come out and support him. And then when I start running these names off, them guys almost had a baby, and they could not believe the support that we had. And then on Thursday, we went to River Terrace, and we passed out over 200 water filters. And here's what we did. We not only did we pass them out, we also installed them. Most women, not all now, don't get me wrong, most women do not know how to install the water filter. Then what we did, we educated them on how to use it. Because a lot of times, even there's some men who don't know how to use the water filter. You do not run hot water through the water filter at any time. One guy said, he ran the hot water through it, and it cleaned it out and started working again. Not true. I don't believe that. Because once you run hot water through it, it automatically become unusable. And there's a switch that you turn on and off, and that's what we was trying to teach the people, show them how to operate this water filter so it can last long. And we also told them when that light start blinking red, come get you a new water filter. We're going to have water filters for everybody. That's the game. We're going to have water filters for everybody. But the fight is on. You know, we know here in the city of Benton Harbor, the water is bad. And they like to say, one of the guys told me that, I've been drinking this water for 40 years. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Yeah. He can't even count to 10. But that's the attitude, you know, we black folks, black people have in general, because they believe the water haven't killed them yet, so they could continue to drink it just like it is. Even though it's messing with their mind, their body, they sickly, real sickly, but they don't know that the cause or the reason for that. You know, they have no knowledge when it comes to stuff like that. And if they don't see something happening right away, they're not going to be bothered with it. And this is just the way they operate. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. But we had quite a week this week. We're going to hit Harbor Towers tomorrow. We're going to find out who needs water filters, who needs a replacement, who needs what. And maybe later on this month, we're going to be passing out free water for everybody. We're going to hit this area and make sure that everybody have clean water, because that's a human right. Everybody should have clean drinking water. And then we're going to work on them showering with this. My thing is, if the water is too bad to drink, it should be also too bad to shower in. And that's one of the things that I like to really, really get into and show people that how important that is. But on that note, we got a whole house full of guests today, and we're going to make sure that we get them all in today, and then we're going to take it from there. My very, very first guest will be Marcina Cole. She has something coming up in Detroit here on next Saturday. She's a tremendous warrior fighter, strong supporter. I love her soul, and we're gonna hear from Marcina so she can tell us exactly what is going on this Saturday, and to get the word out. And last time she was on, we did get about 6-7 emails of people from Detroit that was listening. We wanted to know the exact location, and I did get the location. I did email each and every one of them to inform them where it was going to be and let them know that I will be there also. So they're tuned in. They plan on coming to support Marcina Cole and some of her activities. But let's go straight to Marcina now. Marcina Cole, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Reverend Pinckney, this evening? I just want to say the event is coming up, Reclaim Your Right to Health Forum, and it's September the 14th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's on a Saturday at Hereford Memorial Baptist Church, 18700 James Cousin Freeway, Detroit, Michigan, 48235. So I'm just letting people know, once again, 18700 James Cousin Freeway, Detroit, Michigan, 48235. I know you have other guests, but I just want to make sure the people who's listening, what motivated me to have this. This is the start of a movement about reclaiming our right to health. As you very well know in this country, what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the current administration, the president of the United States, and they're chiseling away our right to have adequate health care. President Obama at the time with the Affordable Care Act, they're chiseling a little bit at a time to nothing. No replacement, nothing. Just leaving us out the door, no Medicare benefits. This current administration does not want us to have anything. When I say us, I mean people of color, poor folks all across this country, which is millions of people. And I don't understand why he's still in office. That's another issue. But right now, as the black race, we are suffering the most, from tainted water to tainted food. When we go for health care, we're denied the proper care, adequate care. And I lost my son. And this is one of the reasons what motivated me to get out there, turn my direction around, and fight for a healthier black community. And that means we have to depend on each other and not the government. The government does not care. And many medical workers do not care. We have less black doctors out there and nurses in various hospitals. In the state of Michigan, there is no black hospital. I don't know about the other states, but my point is we are walking around, some of us, with time bombs, and we don't know that we're sick, seriously ill, because the clinics, some of the clinics out here that's affiliated with big time hospitals is voted for the best 10 hospitals across the country, and that's not true because I know my son ain't here. They misdiagnose a patient. They don't care. So what we have is an escalation of many of us who are walking around with uncontrollable hypertension, diabetes, limb amputation from the diabetes, more so than whites, when it comes down to amputation of the legs. Eating bad food, that has a lot to do with it. Genetically, yes, that's so. But also the errors in the hospital. Not, you know, when it comes down to prevention, the hospital staff or clinic staff do not go treat the patients to make sure they don't get these diseases. They wait till it comes until it's too late. or they just ignore the symptoms, period. Because many of us, the medical care, they just don't care about us. We have to care about each other. We don't need to look at one another black on black and act like we hate each other. We got to love each other. I'm dealing with a situation at the church, and there's some folks who's throwing darts at me, you know, and it's really upsetting, you know. I'm out here, you know, talking to my, you know, relative en route to going to the church to get the word out. I want some seniors there. I want a bus. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but the pastor says at the church, you know, it can happen as long as we have a driver. But still, it's just, you know, the point is, I'm fighting the fight until the point I'm in tears. I said, I don't know if I'm crying for lost souls or the death of my loved ones, the losing of my loved ones prematurely. And so I just want to save a life, including my own, you know, because we are dying at alarming rates. We have young people in their 20s are having massive strokes, you know, diabetes, kidney failure. Just in the neighborhoods, in the black neighborhood alone, it looks like every other corner, we got a dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something wrong with that picture. Why we have so many dialysis, you know, located in the black community? That's something we need to address. You know, it could be a number of things, and we're under so much stress, Reverend Pinckney. So much stress, and we're misdiagnosed if you have mental health challenges. We're being misdiagnosed. We're under a lot of stress. They want to give you medication and make things worse. And it can affect the heart and other major organs, the medications that are prescribed by these physicians for various ailments, including the mind. And then they get more sicker until, eventually the mortality rises up. So we can go on even with when it comes down to the life expectancy of a newborn baby. So we need to be up front and be out there and fight for our community, fight for a better community, a healthier community. And we can get out here and march and everything else because there's a lot of work to be done. But we can't do it if we're too sick to go out the door.
That's
right. We
can't
do it if we're homeless. We can't do it if our water is tainted. We can't do it if our relative is sick and dying and you don't know about it until you take them to the hospital and they kill them off. So I'm suffering as a mother. I lost my sister, too, in 2 months after my son's burial. The thing is, my sister had the cancer. There is an increase with breast cancer. She was like in remission for 10 years. And all they do when it comes back, they want to give you tons and tons of chemotherapy. And that is killing folks. And I say it again, Reverend Pinckney, the pharmaceutical companies are making trillions of dollars for us to die. They ain't trying to get us no better.
No.
A lot of folks don't have
cure us at all. All they want to do
at all.
Keep you coming back.
You keep you coming back, and they know they're making a lot of money and charging astronomical amounts for medication. I've been to the pharmacy before, and I hear people, you know, don't have the money when the pharmacist tells them they got to pay for medication in the hundreds of dollars. They have to go back out the door without their medication, and very few free clinics are out there. So we are a sick nation. And the only way we can heal is that we heal each other. This is not about me. It's about we. So the people out here need to have more love for each other. And I don't see that. I don't see it in some of these churches. Okay? So this thing is coming up. And I want folks to join in. And I have the registered nurses that's going to be on board. I was working on a situation where I was going to have these registered nurses. She was going to get students, and it looked like it was not going to happen because they hadn't heard from the school, blah, 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 blah. But God is good. I had folks calling me from different medical entities, and I've got what I want. I've got more than enough nurses. I have the medical equipment for the nurses to do the check for the blood pressure and the challenging as far as testing for glucose for diabetes. Oh, a person that I have, Dr. Travably, she is a scholar when it comes down to diabetes and reversal diabetes. She will be on my panel. She'll be one of the panelists that's going to be there to talk about that, and she's also going to assist nurses as far as doing the check. So, you know, we're intervening in the church, and I thank the pastor, Christian Adams, to allow me to do this. This is the start of a movement. I want you all to know that. I'm not going away after this September the 14th event, and I'm inviting all over the country for us to join together. So in each state, first Michigan, this is where we reside here, to make sure that we're going to get out here, we're going to fight for affordable care for everyone, not just a few. The rich folks, the politicians got money, and they have health care for themselves. Even when they're no longer a politician, they still get medical insurance, but they don't want us to have it. So we got to fight against that. We got to make sure that these politicians be accountable for the constituents that put them in office. If they don't, they got to go out the door. And they shouldn't be voted in the first place. And by the way, I will have a politician there, and he's going to be talking about Medicare for All or whatever, relating to health. So he's going to be one of my speakers, Representative Robert Wittenberg. So anyway, so I asked Rashid to leave, but she was, unfortunately, she has another engagement out of state, but she's going to send her staff. So we have to, we have to intertwine with the politicians. We do, we know that there's a lot of things we can't get done on our own, and we have to just really get on some of these politicians and say, look, you work for me. You don't work for corporate, you work for me. So if they stop That's thinking right. about the money, they need to start thinking about the people, or the people will come together and you're out. You're out the door. We're going to get out Trump out the door because he's trying to destroy the earth. He's a madman, and he's a mob boss. And anybody who's for him, they got to go too. So we got a lot of work to do. I can't do it alone. I've been on foot for miles trying to do this and that. While some folks just watch me do it and they want to jump on board a week before the conference to help. Huh? What? Mm. You know what I'm saying? That's my question is, where was you over 3 months ago? You see what I'm saying? Anybody got time for that? So anyway, I keep moving. I know some things I've done wrong. I should have got my sponsors first because I was barking at the wrong tree. And so, you know, at this late stage, I do have a few people help me, whatever, but not enough. But, you know, the higher power is good. Money's going to come from somewhere. I got to feed these people, and I want to feed them healthy. You know what I mean? Some healthy food, Mediterranean food or whatever.
Absolutely.
I got to feed them healthy. So at this point, I ain't got a lot of change on me.
There you
go. I'm not in touch with the government like some people do. Some of these activist groups, they get money. They get recognition, all that. I don't care about the recognition, but I want some help too. So this
there
thing
you
is
go.
Sore.
I got
so
you.
This,
hey, listen, young
so
lady.
We let people know.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. And
all right. And,
Reverend Pingley,
and that's Saturday, September the 14th.
And you're
going to
be on the panel.
Again.
Yeah. But I'll say this right quick. You're my first speaker. You're going to be opening up. I got to get a moderator. I know this guy. He's well known as a speaker in the state of Michigan. And he's talked to me, and more likely he's going to do it in the morning. He's awesome. And so from the church. But anyway, so he's going to introduce you. I just need a bio from each and everybody, so that way we'll have the facts together.
All right, I'll email you a bio. Right on.
Wait,
all right,
now, can I say? Okay, then take care of that.
Go ahead.
Okay,
you
I wanted to say
go
this.
Ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say I'm wrapping up Tuesday about the Reclaim Your Rights to Health conference, just to, you know, let people know what's going on. And that number, if you call in, and it starts at 7. It's only the last hour Eastern time. It's area code 605-313-5854. 605-313-5854. And the access code is 495-804, 495-804, pound sign. And that's Eastern time, 7-8. Just to wrap everything up in what they would expect when we get to September the 14th with the various panelists and vendors. Thank you so much, Reverend Payne, for allowing me that time.
You have a good day, and we're going to make it happen on Saturday. Take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, take care.
All right, now.
Bye-bye.
That was my very, very good friend, Marcina Cole, who lost her son. And I tell you, she's a strong warrior and a strong supporter. And I tell you, she's just an amazing young lady. But, hey, we're going to make it happen. Now I got to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, the one and only. There's not two of us. There's only one. There's only one Belinda Parker Brown in the whole wide world. I know. There's only one. I know what you say. There got to be another one somewhere. There is no other Belinda Parker Brown. That's my good friend. That's my girl. And I always say, Belinda Brown, if you ask me again, I knock you down. Belinda Brown, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, Pastor Pinckney, this is Belinda Parker Brown calling you from Louisiana. I just thank you, Pastor Pinckney. I love to be on your show. And just listening to my sister, Miss Cole, out there in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, it sounds like that lady is a true warrior. She's a trailblazer. You know, she's a real soldier, Pastor Pinckney, and I really appreciate people like her. And I'm certain that you do too as well.
Absolutely. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah, she's doing some great work. It really excites me to hear people talking about, you know, claim your rights, you know, on all of these fronts that we're facing right now. And you know for yourself that we're in a mighty, mighty fight in the state of Louisiana. You know, we're not going to back down. We're going to demand, we're not going to ask permission, you know, and we're not going to be nice about it, Pastor Pinckney. We want justice for these people that have been wrongfully incarcerated and that are being held hostage even as we speak right now. So, you know, and then your fight there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, you know, fighting for people to just have the right to clean water. You know, this stuff is just outrageous. I mean, this is a tragedy right before our eyes. And we're in the 21st century, all the technology and abilities that we have out here in this country, that people have to be suffering from something as such as clean water. You know, this is unheard of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But we got to do what we got to do and make it happen. That's all we can do. Keep it moving, you know. Keep it moving. That's the whole game plan. Belinda, you are right now. I know you're traveling. You just got back you're leaving St. Louis, Missouri, right now. Tell us a little bit about your trip.
Yeah, we're coming up on missions here in a few minutes. Yeah, we are traveling. And Pastor Pinckney, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to just talk a little bit about all the excitement. You know, one of the things that you have always taught me that, you know, we have to help ourselves. You know, it's, you know, we're not prejudiced. We don't have anything against any other nationality or race, you know. But we as black people, we have to realize that we can't go looking for help in all the wrong places when we know that these people do not intend to help us. And just like Ms. Cole just mentioned, you know, they're killing us. You know, they're killing us with all of this poison, you know, that are coming into our communities and filtering us with all of these, you know, horrific, you know, germs and sickness and all of this stuff, you know, in the food. And it's only happening to us, you know. And you said, Pastor Pinckney, we go in the hospital and we don't come back out. And, you know, that, I mean, her testimony and her story is a perfect example of what happened to her son. You know, these things, I'm just going to be straightforward with you, Pastor Pinkney, to the listeners. You know, we have been very naive. You know, we have been bamboozled, and we have been brainwashed and fell for the okey-doke, thinking that these people intend to help us. You know, the system has been set up to exploit us, use us, to, you know, keep us ignorant and uneducated to all of these ills and atrocities that we face. So, you know, I'm saying right now to the whole world that enough is enough. You know, the Bible says that, you know, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. But you know, Pastor Pinkney, we do not have to stay that way. And I'm saying we have came into the knowledge. We know why we're being treated this way. There is no more excuses, and we're not going to fall for the okey-doke anymore, Pastor Pinkney. This is for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, that we rise up and come together, people, okay, and stop making all of these excuses of why you cannot unite, okay? It's no more, we're not going to accept any more of your excuses. Pastor Pinkney, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm speaking to the whole world on this level. And as black people, you know, I don't care. I said to the whole world, because we want the white people to know. We want the Chinese to know. We want the Asians to know. We want every nationality to know. As black people, we demand our respect now. We are in this country. We helped build this country. Matter of fact, we built the country, for as I'm concerned, on the black and the blood of our forefathers and ancestors. Okay? So we are going to demand that we get what's rightfully ours, and that we're not going to wait for them to give it to us. We're going to take it, because God said that he created us to rule and reign and take dominion, and we are God's chosen people. And the 400 years of slavery, the 400 years of bondage, that is over now, Pastor Pinkney. We have paid our dues, and we're coming home to roost, okay? So with that said, I'm so excited to give you the update and the report on what just happened here in St. Louis, out here with some heavy hitters, you know, people coming from all over the country, all over the world. You know, I'm telling you, Pastor Pinkney, I'm not at liberty to say everything about what transpired, but I know that we have to do some very strategic planning on how very, very important this movement is, you know, and I know that the people are just ready for it, Pastor Pinkney. You know, your work have already sparked it. You have already spearheaded it. You have already sacrificed, you know, to, you know, bring about a movement such as this. And I just, you know, I'm just so, you know, excited and looking forward to you meeting these people and, you know, sitting down at the round table discussion on what's coming next. And I'm here to tell you, we don't have to wait for a plan. They got a plan, Pastor Pinkney. They're coming with a master plan, and it's going to turn the known world upside down in regards to how black people are treated, in regards to, you know, what we have to do as a black people in the United States of America, how we're going to claim and how we're going to enter into the manifestation of the victory that God has already given us for our lives and our families. Let me say this, Pastor Pinkney. You can tell that, you know, you're a mover and a shaker. You know, I got all of my fire and energy and inspiration and everything for you for the great work that I'm doing. But I'm so excited because, you know, we're winning this. You know, it's already won. The battle is already won. All we got to do is enter into the manifestation of the victory that God has already given us, but it's something that God is requiring of us, and that's what the people need to know. It's something that God is requiring of us, and we got to hear. No, I didn't say listen, people. I didn't say listen. I did not say listen, because my grandmother said when you listen, it go in one ear and out the other. But Jesus said, hear ye me, okay? Mm-hmm. Here is the action word. It's time for action now, Pastor Pinkney, okay? Go do your research. Get the definition on what hear means, okay? People need to hear now. And the spirit of the word of God said, those that have ears to hear, okay, let them hear what the spirit of the Lord is saying. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's time
All right.
to hear, Pastor Pickney, because it's time for action. We can't wait
Absolutely.
Anymore. And this is what I'm saying. This is all about action. And when I say that God is requiring something of us, it's going to take action, okay? And what the Lord said, you know, God don't ask for much. He said, first seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness will be added unto you, okay? And God is saying to us, you know, we didn't cry, we didn't pray, we didn't got up off our knees, we didn't stood up against the wall, we didn't fell down and cried and prayed some more. So now it's time to get up and move. It's time for action now, Pastor Pickney. And the only thing that God said that he requires of us, okay, to give us harmony, to give us peace, is unity.
There
that
you go.
We have to unite.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you been preaching that? Haven't you been going to and fro all over the world, Pastor Pickney, telling people to come together and unite?
Absolutely. They're streaming.
I know for a fact that's what you've
numbers.
Been doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's strength. It's power. Okay? And we cannot be denied. We cannot be denied. When we all unite and come together on one accord, and everybody is not going to unite with us. We already know that because it's people that look like us that benefit from all of this corruption, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've been selling us out for decades, and a lot of those people is going to go away. I know they're going to go away for a fact they're going to go away, okay? They're going to go away even if it has to be 6 foot under or the United States Marshals or, you know, or the National Guard or somebody going to haul them away. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, Pastor Pinckney, is that, you know, we're moving and shaking now and we are on the right side and God is with us, okay? And I'm so excited about it. And I want to say this because I know, you know, our time and I don't know, you know, I got to say this, that there is a historic moment right now that we all need to latch on to. You know, times pass when, you know, we miss the opportunity to be a part of something historic. You know, we wait around and we set, like you say, Pastor Pickney, we don't do nothing until we see something, and we don't do nothing until something happened to us, you know. But, you know, I want to challenge the people. Matter of fact, I want to warn the people. I want to warn them, okay? If you don't be a part of this historic moment, you might as well cuss yourself out.
Mm.
And see, I don't cuss. Some people just literally need to cuss theyself out, Pastor Pickney, because they've been sitting around, you know, all these naysayers and, you know, sideline, you know, rubber rousers and, you know, talk, and, you know, and try to, you know, judge and complain about what other people are doing, all right? We need to warn them. We need to warn them, Pastor Pickney, because they are about to miss the boat.
Mm.
Because all they want to do is talk, okay, and complain and talk about the problem back and forth, too, you know. So we're warning them. This is not the time to talk. This is not the time to complain and make excuses. Why these people got their foot on your neck, okay? It's time for you to, you know, you've been bent over working on these slave jobs. You know, you've been working for 20 and 30 years and don't have nothing to show for it, okay, with these people lips, you know, your lips stuck on their butt, okay? And all they going to do is when your time comes, you ain't going to have nothing to show for it. All right?
There you go.
So this is a warning.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is a warning. You know why you're the busiest people in the world, Pastor? You said that. They, that's, that, top, that is part of their strategic, you know, plan to keep us busy.
Mm-hmm.
So busy, working 2 and 3 jobs, busy, doing nothing, okay? You know, busy working for peanuts, you know, pennies. You know, I don't even think I should put pennies in that category because, you know, pennies is can mean a whole lot.
Mm.
But the fact of the matter is that I know that it's time for us to walk off some of these man-made jobs, okay, that's
mm-hmm.
setting us up for failure.
There you go.
All right? Listen, people, it's setting us up for failure. It's going to suck the living life out of you, okay, break you down to a zero, and you ain't going to have nothing to show for it.
There you go.
I'm saying to the people right now, Pastor Pinkney, we got to come together, okay, because we got a plan, a master plan. After meeting with all of these ambassadors, all of these dignitaries and, you know, prime ministers and, you know, people, you know, where God said he didn't put our feet on top of the earth and everything belonged to us, that he would not hold no good thing from us. I'm talking about the gold, the diamonds, you know, everything, Pastor Pinkney. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, people
right
hear
on.
You talking like that, they can say what they want to say about me, but the truth of the matter is I know what I'm talking about, see, because there comes a time
go.
In your life where you have to know something.
There you
okay?
go. Listen. Belinda,
so, all right, Pastor Pinkney, I got to say this, and then I'm going to let
all
you
right.
go.
Say it. Okay, go right ahead.
The historic moment in Louisiana is going down.
Mm-hmm.
We about to, I'm telling you, this have never happened before. We have the top 6 positions in the state right now of Louisiana, and we have 6 highly qualified black candidates running for those top 6 positions. That's the governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the secretary of state, the treasurer, and aquaculture. We need to do everything in our power to support these people and get behind them to make sure that they win this historic election, Pastor Pinkney. We have been successful in getting the first black female in our city, New Orleans, as mayor, and we're saying that this is our time. We can do this. So October the 5th, we asking the whole world to come and stand with us and be a part of a mass rally that we're saying it's time for us to unite and come together. And we're not free until all of us are free. We don't
Amen.
Need to celebrate. We don't need to have a party, a backyard barbecue. We don't need to do none of that stuff until we all come together and declare our freedom with each other. And we don't want freedom that people can give us, because when they give you something, they take it right back. We want freedom that we're going to take for the release of thousands of people that's been wrongfully incarcerated. And let me tell the world this too, Pastor Pinkney. The number is 10 things, but the number one top thing in this presidential candidacy right now, you know, we're coming up on a big presidential election next year. The number one thing on the top of the list is mass incarceration for black, that the black women are coming together to vote on. And if you're not going to support us on this issue on mass incarceration, prison reform, we're saying no to prison for profit. We're saying no to, you know, all of this corruption and this disgraceful criminal justice system that have oppressed. We're saying no to slavery, to abolish the exception in the 13th Amendment. We're saying no, no more.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that don't stand with us and support these issues right now, Pastor Pinkney, we're saying we're not going to vote for them. And that is
all right.
And we're going to take it. We're going to take it because it rightfully belongs to us for our children and our families to be united and be successful. Okay?
There you go.
So, come and stand with us October the 5th.
All right. All right, Belinda Brown. Thank you so much. You should have a safe trip and get on back home. All right. That was my girl,
All right,
Belinda.
Pastor Keaton. Thank you so much.
All right now. That's my girl, Belinda Parker Brown from Slidell, Louisiana. Now I got to bring in my good friend, the 5G man. he's going to be talking about the 5G, and some of you may not know what the 5G is, but we're going to get the opportunity today for this young man to talk about 5G so you can get a feel and know how powerful this thing is. And the good news is, you know, you need to know. My good friend, 548, this is Reverend Pinckney speaking. Tell us about the 5G, and also tell us your name.
Hello. They call me 5G Andy.
All right.
I hear.
All right.
I can hear you well.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. This is something that everybody needs to hear. The last caller was talking about the difference between listening and hearing. This is something that we all need to hear. There is talk about politicians needing to be held responsible because they do work for us. And the police actually work for us.
Yes.
Government officials work for us, the people. So we, the people, need to hear the other side of what 5G is. So 5G, if you listen to AT&T and their organized the lie, will tell you that 5G is necessary to have an easier life. That it will make living and everything just so much faster and better. But what they aren't telling you is that the bandwidth in which 5G originally was used for was to harm combatants on the military field. So they've been using millimeter waves. Millimeter wave is a bandwidth within the electromagnetic frequencies. So your phone, your cellular phone, it runs on around 900 megahertz if it's a 3G. 4G operates around the 900 megahertz and up to, I think, around 6 megahertz, but it's or 6 gigahertz. So it's, you know, it has different bandwidths within the 4G. So there's 4G LTE, et cetera, et cetera. The 5G operates in the 24 gigahertz. So it's a far more powerful band and a far more powerful frequency. And previously they used it in military to burn people, to disperse crowds. If you Google 60 Minutes, they had a story on this mysterious weapon that was harming diplomats in China and in Cuba. And if you watch the story, guy says in the story, he knows that what caused his injuries were millimeter wave radiation. And that's what you get from 5G, because 5G is a wireless radiation that is going to expose us all to a whole new bandwidth, a whole new frequency of radiation exposure. They don't mention millimeter waves as 5G, though, but they do mention a study done by Penn Medicine out of the University of Pennsylvania, and just recently they replayed the 60-minute story, and they said the story concluded. If you go look at the study concluded that physical damage to the brain is caused by the exposure, and they called it a directional stimulation. They did not call it millimeter waves, and they did not associate it to 5G either. But again, these are in the same bandwidth. It's just a different intensity when the government uses it. It's like the difference between drinking moonshine and some 3.2 beer. You're still going to get the effects. It's just one of them's going to happen within an hour. The next one might take a couple years. So if you go to like environmentalhealthtrust.org or even just type in 5G to your Google, you will learn more than what I'm able to tell you. But the previous caller was talking about how this mass incarceration, this privatization, this profiteering off of oppression, this 5G, one thing that it's going to allow government officials to do is to run artificial intelligent facial recognition software on their body cams, in their vehicles. And one very, you know, this is not disputable. I'm not making this up. One flaw of these facial recognition programs is that they often misidentify more frequently members of the African-American community. So if a police officer has a body cam and it's running wireless 5G facial recognition artificial intelligence software, it misidentifies you as a potential violent felon. Well, when you reach for your pocket, you might be murdered. And then they come to find out, oh, the computer system got it wrong. Another problem with 5G is that they already know there's no security, so your privacy is going to be gone. Everything. Like, if you look into Amazon, those Amazon Alexa, Amazon Ring, anything Amazon, that's bad, bad. The Amazon Ring, it records, using facial recognition technology, everybody who walks up to your front door, and it keeps it in a database of who visited you, who they are, all that stuff. The Amazon Alexa, it can determine your emotional status by interpreting the inflections in your voice. It can recognize where you're from based on your accent. It records your everything. And this is all being used to surveil and to sell us. So there's also with 5G, because artificial intelligence requires massive computation at once. And these, you can do it on fiber optics instantaneously easily, but you cannot do it easily on 4G or 3G. On 5G, because of the strength of the bandwidth, the density of it, it allows it to carry a whole lot of information. So that information can run those algorithms to determine who you are based on how you walk, to determine what you like based on your Facebook post, based on your Instagram post, based on what you buy, where you may go in the future because of where you have gone in the past. It allows basically unlimited search of the entire populace. Jeff Bezos, he's the overlord of this information system, and he's running it for the NSA and the government. All of their agencies use Jeff Bezos and his multi-cloud service in order to intercept all of our electronic data. So everything, when your car turns on, when your credit card, your everything. So it allows that. And then what they're saying is they're not all these. Another aspect is that all of these television news reporters, news things, they're all saying how fast it is. But what they're not telling you is that this bandwidth, because of its strength, a characteristic of this bandwidth is that it absorbs into solid objects and things that have water, i.e. biological life. So 4G, that does not require a line of sight because it's a much softer wave. I'm not an electromagnetic scientist, so some of this stuff is a bit nuanced for me, but anybody can easily search and find more information again. But so these towers need to be everywhere. They need to be closer, and you're going to have them in your smartphone. If you have a MIMO, if you look at your phone and it says that you have a MIMO antenna, that's a multiple input, multiple output antenna, and that's what is going to increase the radiation source that comes from this 5G, because in order to run all these different bandwidths, you need different antennas. So when you look at a cell tower, there might be 15 different antennas on there, each one of them doing something different. Well, the MIMO condenses all those capabilities into a single antenna. So now you have this powerful one antenna on you, and you have a smartphone that's transmitting. You have a smart refrigerator that's transmitting. You have how many tablets in your house, how many computers. And then they have them on every 300 yards or so because they can't travel long distances because they are absorbed into life, plants, insects. They're absorbed into water. So they're not telling. There's this organized lie that's going on of how safe 5G is. But the thing is I ask anybody in the audience, has anybody ever heard anybody ever say that you should live in an airport screening machine? No. But that's what AT&T is asking us to do. That's what Qualcomm's asking us to do. When you go into an airport screening machine, those ones that they were saying were constitutional violations because of how intimate they get, how they can see the folds in your scrotum. I mean, you know, this is the same technology that these antennas are going to have. So when you're walking down the street, you know, you cannot see the radio frequency wave because we have a different eyeball. But if you had an eyeball that could see the radio frequency wave, it'd be sucking into everybody. So when you walk down the street, your distortion shows where you are, where you came from. It can see you. You got to get past the concept of how we see, and you got to look into like how a bee sees or how an antenna sees, you know. So we are being inundated with this stuff. Andrew Yang, I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders is talking about the mass incarceration problem, and there's a few other ones. Andrew Yang, in a couple debates ago, he said, you guys know this best here in Detroit. He said, the factories are wall-to-wall machines, not wall-to-wall people. That's 5G. That's computer learning. That's AI, artificial intelligence, computer communication, robotic communication. So what they're doing is when these machines are building and operating, they don't have people on the floor because they know how harmful these things are. So when you go to a factory using 5G wireless transmission, they do not have people out there. But yet AT&T and Qualcomm are asking us to do it. Here in, you know, they're talking, a previous guest was talking about how these corporations are killing communities and targeting African-American communities. AT&T is bringing 5G to Benton Harbor, Michigan, one of the most impoverished cities in the state. You got Flint, you got, you know, so, and it's also a predominantly African American community, and it is surrounded by wealthy communities of Caucasian population, and it's not being put into there first. So, you know, you got to wonder why, what neighborhoods, and why they're putting this stuff up. So I just kind of went on a rant there. I apologize.
But that's okay.
Do you have a question?
Listen, let me ask you this. Who gave them permission to put them up?
What was that?
Who gave them permission to put the 5G up in here in Benton Harbor? Do you have any idea who gave them permission for that?
Well, you can get into conspiracy, but it's coming from the top. It's coming from the very top. And so the FCC, I think in, 2016, the Congress passed the Mobile Now Act, and that said that you could use 5G. And then in 2017, WT Docket 1779 and WC Docket 1784 passed that allowed this to be used. And then the FCC, the FCC is currently being sued all over the place. If you look at Belgium, Brussels, Belgium, they have eliminated 5G. New Hampshire's working on it. California, Louisiana, Virginia. I mean, there are states and cities throughout the country that are fighting this, but because it's coming from the top, so the FCC, normally when you have a new cellular technology come out, you got to go through all this rigmarole. You know, you got to prove that it's safe. You got to do this and that because they're calling it a new technology. But the FCC, they've broken it up. So, you know, in front of you, you have a piece of bread. You have a jar of peanut butter, and you have a jar of jam. you don't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's what they did with 5G. They said, well, this is not a new technology because it's just this and it's just this. They're not combined, but then they're going to be combined. So it's coming from the top, and the way they've worded it is because of profit. This is corporate greed. Like I said, nobody has recommended anybody live in an airport screening machine, but AT&T is doing it. And it's because of all the money that can be made, not just by the antennas that need to be installed. Let me add the new antennas, so the additional antennas. So they're not getting rid of 4G, 3G, 2G antennas that are already pumping out radio frequency radiation that in 2018, the National Toxicology Program run by the United States government, a $25 million study concluded that 900 megahertz, which is what our cell phones, is cancer causing. So they're not getting rid of that. They're adding this to it. So there's a whole lot of money to be made in that. And then, like I said, the artificial intelligence, it's called surveillance capitalism. So by, you know, and this is a capitalistic society. You know, we the mighty dollar drives it all. So by them being able to track you, what you like, what you think about, who you visit, they can target you with ads that will trigger you into purchasing things. So it's like spurring the economic for some. So it's not that municipalities themselves are asking, it's that they're being told, their hands are being bound, but because of the safety problems, because of all the cities around the country, around the world that are having this issue, any municipality that just sits back and lets it happen, you know, they're complicit. They're because the science is out there. Like I said, all you got to do is go to Google, type in harms of 5G electromagnetic frequency radiation, EMFR, MMWR. That's all, millimeter wave radiation. So anybody can look it up. I don't know if this is going to be targeted murder because, like I said, it's a multiple input, multiple output, and they do use this in military settings to target individuals, cause cancer, to cause heart issues, to cause irritability, to disrupt your sleep, there's all sorts of uses that they have it for. So when you start questioning why is it coming from the top, why is it being rolled out in these neighborhoods and these cities first? You got to think there's something more to it than just they want us to have faster communication. It's essentially allowing the.
Yeah, it's a weapon. That's what it is. That's what happened in Cuba. Remember when the guys complained about their ears? Oh, it was ringing and everything. And it's a weapon that they use. They, you know, there was a group of people called target individuals here in this country. They say they've been using microwaves on them since the 50s, maybe even the 40s.
And that's so what I'm saying is they've been using this to target people since the 50s or 60s at least. And now AT&T found out that they can communicate over it, and they're making millions of dollars. You know, it's not just AT&T, but AT&T is the one bringing it to Benton Harbor. Qualcomm is bringing it to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I believe Qualcomm, Verizon already has it in, you know, Chicago and I think San Francisco. I mean, they're rolling it out. They're starting to do it right now, but in every single city, if you go to, like, the ground level information, there's people fighting this stuff like crazy because it is more sinister than how to get a better deal on these new pair of jeans. Because this country has always had an issue with people who stand up against authoritative authority. And, you know, so the thing is that they say, oh, well, this is to make you safer, and these intrusions into your privacy are to protect you. But it's like, who are you protecting? Why are you protecting them? And who are you targeting? Are you targeting me because I'm going to, like, maybe make you not a trillionaire by the time you're 50 because I'm complaining that you want to murder me and my family with a technology that's been known to harm people. So they can use this to target anybody, anybody with a cellular phone. They can add it into the computer, give this person a little bit extra dose every time they come by an antenna, and they can do that with this 5G stuff. They can do wild stuff, and you know, I know there's probably a lot of people who want to get on, and I'll get off.
This is, you know, we only have an hour show, but I want to really thank you. I want you to come back on next week and talk some more about this, because one of the things I have a little knowledge about, my good friend Jamie Davis really educated me about the 5G, and I would love for you to come back next week and talk a little bit more about it. And I didn't get a chance to get my good friend Leon. I'll get him on next week. And Jamie, not only you, but also my good friend Joyce, I'm going to get her on next week too. I'm going to give everybody some time next week. And what we're going to do, I want to hear more about the 5G, because I am concerned about this. I believe that people need to know about this, especially my brothers and sisters, because we don't really get it until it's too late. When we get the information, it's too late. You know, they have already exposed us to the radiation and everything else. We have dead and everything. That's when we get the information. I think that they need to know about this, because this is too heavy for them not to know. And I really, really appreciate you. And if we get a chance, let's talk during the week also, you and I, so you can educate me, because I need to know more. Listen, on that note, we have just ran out of time. And I really, really appreciate all my guests today, Marcina Cole, Belinda Brown, and my very good friend. I got to get that name right of yours. Sooner or later, it's going to come to me, and I'm going to be doing it right. But me and you are going to talk during the week, and we're going to talk more about this, and we're going to make this thing happen. And we're going to show people, because it's time that we educate the people. The people need to know. You know, this is an opportunity for us to come together like never before. We have a history of not coming together, but this is one thing that could bring us all together, because it's coming to Benton Harbor. You know it's coming to your place next, so get ready for it. On that note, I'm going to say everybody have a good night. Next week, same time, same station, the Pinckney Show. Thank you for listening.